We're going to do a study on the category of believers. And which one are we, what category do we belong to? And what category we might be in, what category we might want to leave and go to another category. But we're going to start off in Exodus chapter 14. Genesis, Exodus.
14?
Yes, 14 verse 10.
14:10, Dad?
Yes. Yahweh has given us case studies on individual lives that he didn't need to. So the purpose of it are lessons for us, to be able to see what's the lesson in these each individual lives, what are we supposed to learn from them, and not make the mistakes or do what they did. So 14:10, we know about Pharaoh and children of Israel leaving Egypt. So we're going to do a little summation. And so in verse 10, you want to read that, Elijah?
Okay.
2:12.
Okay. Now when Pharaoh had drawn near, the sons of Israel lifted up their eyes, and lo, the Egyptians moving along after them, and they feared greatly. And the sons of Israel made outcry unto Yahweh. Then said they unto Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that thou didst fetch us to die in the desert? What is this thou hast done to us, bringing us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this the word which we spake unto thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert.
Why? Are you part of those group? So just think about that. Are you one of these people who would do this? And you have to think about that after they have seen 10 judgments of Yahweh on Israel, and still it's not clicking. Now we go down to verse 27. So Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned toward the morning to its steady flow when the Egyptians were fleeing to meet it. Thus Yahweh shook off the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. Thus the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even all the forces of Pharaoh that were entering after them into the sea. There was not left remaining among them so much as one. But the sons of Israel had gone their way on dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters had been to them a wall on their right hand and on their left. Thus did Yahweh on that day save Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the shore of the sea. And when Israel saw the mighty hand with which Yahweh had wrought against the Egyptians, then did the people revere Yahweh, and they put their trust in Yahweh and in Moses' servants. And we go to verse 20, we get to see the celebration. Then took Miriam, the prophetess, sister of Aaron, the timbrel in her hand, and all the women came forth after her with timbrels, dance. And Miriam responded to the men, sing to Yahweh, for he is exalted, exalted. The horse and his rider had he cast into the sea. So our subject is really going to be covering believers and not unbelievers. So here are the believers at that time, and they all witnessed the 10 plagues and the summation, which was cleaving the sea and killing all the Egyptians. Now you would think these should all be steadfast, unmovable believers for the rest of their life. And we're going to find out it's not so. Let's go to chapter 12.
Of Exodus?
Yes. Verse 12, and we're going to see that Yahweh began this by judging. And so they also know that Yahweh doesn't mess around. He just killed the Egyptians. And in verse 12, we're going to 13. And Melania, read 12 to 13.
I will pass along, therefore, throughout the land of Egypt this night, and will smite every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man even to beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I, Yahweh, then shall the blood serve you for a sign on the houses wherein ye are. Then I will behold the blood, and I will pass over you. And there shall be among you no plague to destroy when I smite the land of Egypt.
So Yahweh is judging. And we look at verse 29, and it happened, as we know. Isaiah, are you 29?
Yeah. It came to pass at midnight that Yahweh smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat upon the throne, and to the firstborn of the captain who was in the pit. Was in the pit of his prison, and every firstborn of beasts.
So, we know he doesn't mess around. And so people could have put blood on their doorpost and not had anybody die, like the Israelites did. And so when Yahweh say, put blood on your doorpost or you're going to die, you know what? I'm going to put blood on my doorpost. So these were all believers. They witnessed all this. And now we're going to go into the person of Aaron. And so we have to say, are you an Aaron? And Aaron was a prophet, a great man. And we go to Exodus 32.
Page 115.
And I believe a problem with the church today in many cases is we don't study these individuals, and they think if somebody's very important in the church, they're not wrong. So they automatically associate your leadership as what you say must be what Yahweh directs you and is directing you. And we're going to see that's not the case. So we got to remember, why was Moses on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? And it really was, it's a period of judgment. It's a probation. Really, I think what he did is he separated Moses from the group and said, what are you going to do without Moses? And we're just going to see what you do without your leader. And so as here's a 40-day wait, and Yahushua was 40 days in the wilderness to be tempted of the adversary. So here is your probation period to see what's going to happen. As we know, did they pass the test?
No.
Nope.
No, they didn't.
Well, some did.
Yeah, some did.
Levi.
Joshua did. So we look at 1 through 5, chapter 32.
Oh, 32?
Yeah, 32. I said 32.
115.
Yeah, chapter 32, verses 1 through 5. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, and people gathered themselves together into Haran, and said unto him, up, make for us gods, who shall go up before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. And Haran said unto them, break off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, and your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people of themselves break off the rings of gold which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aharon, and he received the gold at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, and made it into a molten calf. And they said, these are thy gods, O Israel, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aharon made a proclamation and said, a festival to Yahweh tomorrow. Wow. And so this is the second man in charge that has fallen very quickly. And let's see here. Yeah, just go on to Numbers. So we've got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 9. And we're going to see how severe this was.
Numbers.
Now, many people would say, well, if Aaron did it, it must be all right.
Page
167. 9, verse 20.
Want to
read that, Wendy?
And so it was when the cloud would be...
Deuteronomy 9:20.
You said numbers.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Or 9:20.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 9:20. Oh. Numbers is after that.
Okay, so I'll keep my finger here. Chapter what?
Chapter 9, verse 20. My mistake. And when Aharon, and to all the viewers, that's why there's two A's in Aaron. It's not Aaron. That's not the correct pronunciation of it. So it is Aharon. And so that's, you know, so I guess if enough of us say it, eventually at some particular time, we can just kind of let our children and everybody else know that another generation. His name is really Aharon. So it's not somebody with a stutter, you know, but it's three syllables instead of Aaron, instead of two syllables. And that's why there's two A's.
So Aaron's name is Aharon?
Yes. And actually, Isaiah's name is Yeshaya, or Yeshayahu.
What?
Yeah. That's really the pronunciation. So I don't know how we got so far off of these names. I mean, it's just, we're not even close.
Yeshaya?
Yeshaya, or Yeshayahu. You know, so you're like, and so obviously it's a Y also. So
that, yell at Aaron.
I think Elijah's probably right, you know, as far as they can see, but.
That seems right.
Okay, 20. And when Aharon did Yahweh, show him exceedingly angry to do what?
Destroy.
To destroy him. So I prostrated myself even in the behalf of Aharon at that time. And your sin which you had made, even the calf took I and burned it up with a fire and pound it very small, and it was fine so dust. And then cast I the dust therefore the torrents that descended out of the mountain. So Yahweh, I mean, you can imagine for Aharon coming that close to being put out, put to death. So we have to say, are we at Aaron? The good thing with Aharon is he turned and he repented. He finished his ministry even to a point that Yahweh gave him the priest the order. So all priests will come through him. But so you can see, you better turn quick. And so Aaron did turn quick. And he was saved. Now he's got a sister named Miriam. So we also have to say, are we a Miriam? And that's Numbers 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers.
She did the dictionary, right?
Mm-hmm. 12, verses 1. Now these are, you know, now there is no written word. These are all from the seed of Abraham. You say Abraham because A-B is Ab for father, father of a multitude. And so we have to say, you know, the signs that Moses did were witnessing that Yahweh was behind him and whatever he said, do. So that is your testimony to follow it. Now Miriam and Aharon spake against Moses on account of the Cushite woman whom he had taken, for a Cushite woman had he taken. You know what a Cushite woman is? Ethiopian. So African. And so Moses' wife was probably black. She's from Ethiopia. And they said, is it only and solely with Moses that Yahweh has spoken? And you start seeing how things just start getting penetrated, our adversary working through people's lives. And at the top of the echelon, with us hath he not spoken? And Yahweh heard it. And so you see the factions that break off into a church institution. And so you see many people start breaking off, and they want their own following. So obviously they are envious of what Moses have. And even though they're second and third in command, they like that first in command position, even though they don't realize that he's serving more than everybody. Oh, so you really want to be the head dishwasher for the world? That's Moses. In verse 3, now the man Moses was patient exceedingly above all the sons of the earth who were on the face of the ground. The other question is, are you like Moses? So are you like Moses? Are you like Aharon? Are you like Miriam? Look at Moses, most patient on the face of the earth. God, what a compliment. Then said Yahweh suddenly unto Moses and unto Aharon and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tent of meeting, and they three went out. Then Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aharon and Miriam, and they both went forth. Then said he, hear, I beseech you, my words. When you have your prophet, as Yahweh in a vision will I make of myself known unto him. In a dream will I speak with him. Not so my servant Moses. In all my house, trusty is he. So we're looking at, you guys are different than Moses. Mouth to mouth do I speak with him, and plainly, not in dark sayings. And the form of Yahweh does he discern. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon them, and he departed. And when the cloud removed from off the tent, lo, Miriam, leprous like snow. Oh, Yahweh just hates women. That's all there is to it. He's a man. And I didn't see Aharon, leprous as snow. So he's just a woman hater. So we have to say, why Miriam and why not Aharon? So let's just read on. I think we've done this before, but it's just good lessons. Because this is second time Aaron's in hot water. Remember, he made a molten calf,
yeah.
And now he's doing this.
Uh-oh.
Let me see. And Aharon turned unto Miriam, and lo, leprous. Then said Aharon unto Moses, O my Lord, and he's not going to talk to Yahweh. He's going to talk to Moses. So he knows his position. And now he's going to the mediator between him and Yahweh, and it's Moses. So he's not going to skip Moses and go, Yahweh, why did you do this? No. He's in charge. And which he submitted himself, and he was older than Aaron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so was Miriam older than Aaron. So this was their kid brother. Miriam and Aharon are older than Moses, sorry. And, O my Lord, do not, I beseech thee, lay upon us sin, although we have made ourselves foolish, and although we have sinned. I don't hear anything coming from Miriam's mouth. So she's not talking. Let her not, I beseech you, remain like the stillborn, which when it is born of its mother, the half of its flesh is consumed. Then Moses made outcry unto Yahweh, saying, O El, I beseech thee, grant healing, I beseech thee, unto her. So Aharon went right to Moses. I don't think Miriam didn't go to Moses or Yahweh. There's nothing about Miriam saying anything. And Yahweh said unto Moses, if her own father had but spat in her face. Well, why is he talking about Aharon? He's not. So I would venture to say this whole talking against Moses began with who?
Miriam.
So Aaron or Aharon was just brought into it. Because he doesn't know he's in trouble, but he's right there. But spat in her face, would she not have acknowledged the shame for 7 days? Let her shut herself up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterwards let her be received back. Does Yahweh respect persons to say, well, this is Moses' sister, we just better just let her?
No.
Aharon he almost killed. And that's Moses' brother. We put into charge. So we see that. And we know about Moses right back here. And in Exodus 34:10, I think we can go there. But let's just go to the highlight of the pyramid. Exodus 34:10. So are we like Moses? I don't want to be. I bet you that's Deuteronomy. Sorry, guys. I think I put down Exodus.
It's
Deuteronomy 34:10. It's the end of the chapter. I thought this isn't.
Deuteronomy what?
34:10. I put the wrong book. page 235. And what a salute, salute. And there arose not a prophet any more in Israel like unto Moses, whom Yahweh acknowledged face to face, with all the signs and the wonders which Yahweh sent him to do in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants, and unto all this land, and by all the firm hand, and by the great terror which Moses wrought in the sight of all of Israel. So you're saying Moses is just, that's the top of the echelon. So you see, Aaron blew it twice. And didn't get, you know, Miriam, she finished her course also. She was buried on a mountain and didn't die prematurely.
She was buried on a mountain?
I think she was buried on a mountain too. So Aaron was, Haran was taken up to the mountain, and Eleazar, I think his son, came down and he's priest.
That's right.
You know, Moses, who buried Moses?
Yeah.
You know that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody know where his grave is?
No.
Nope. Yahweh hit it. You know why? What do you think if they would have known where Moses was buried, what do you think would have happened to his body?
Somebody would have dug him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would have worshipped his bones, probably.
Oh, I never thought about that. Sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just an idol. You know, the Catholics are known for that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have so many artifacts.
I think they got Peter's skull.
Oh, yeah, they got this foreskin of Jesus being circumcised.
Do you know how
they got breast milk from Mary. I mean, it just goes bizarre.
That's a good preservative.
Are you kidding me? I mean,
in Deuteronomy, how old would Miriam be? I mean, her age.
Well, they were a couple age older than Aaron. Or Moses.
She was much more older than Moses because she was running around looking.
Well, sure, when he was a baby, she could have been 5 years old, or 6 years, or seven. Yeah, you're right.
So these aren't kids this is happening to. These are grandpas.
Oh, old
now,
grandpas.
Yeah, these are
old.
Yeah.
This
would be
like
granddad.
88.
Yeah, that's when they started, actually. So Moses is 120 when he dies.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So, yeah, that's right. So they're in their hundreds.
They have good parking.
So they serve. And so now we go to Exodus, and now we're going to start looking at the downslide of other people who are actually believers. Exodus 24. And this is Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, Aharon's sons.
Chapter
24.
Aaron roast thing.
Yeah.
1 and 2. And this is very important. This, you know, Nadab and Abihu both die. We're going to figure out why did they die. Yahweh killed them, put them to death. And we're going to find out what they did. So we're going to find out first here of sacrifices, what you're supposed to do. So Exodus 24, verses 1 and 2. And unto Moses he said,
1 and 2.
Exodus 24, 1 and 2. And unto Moses he said, Come up unto Yahweh, thou and Aharon, Nadab and Abihu. So here these guys are very important. These are Aharon's sons. And 70 of the elders of Israel, so shall you bow yourself down from afar, and Moses alone shall draw near unto Yahweh, but they shall not draw near, and the people shall not come up with them. Okay, so Nadab and Abihu were very important people also. Verse 8, then Moses took the blood and dashed over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has solemnized with you, over all these words, then went up Moses and Aharon, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the Elohim of Israel. And that's cool. And they saw the Elohim of Israel, and under his feet, like a pavement of sapphire, and like the very heavens for brightness, and against the nobles of the son of Israel, put he not forth his hand. So then they had visions of Elohim and did eat and drink. Let's see, 8 to 11. There's something else here I missed. That was very good, though. But there is a ceremony to burn incense unto Yahweh, which you were in the holies. Not the Holy of Holies, but the holies. And so in the holies, you had the table of bread, and you had the incense table, and you had the lamps. So you had three things. So in order to use, you got coals to put it into your censer, and then you went in there and you put incense on top of the coals, and that's where the sweet fragrance comes out. Where did the coals come from? And they only came from the altar after blood has been poured on the altar, so the atonement. Hmm. So I had that here, so I messed that up also someplace. And we're going to find out they are going to offer incense, but the fire did not come from the altar.
So it wasn't atoned.
That's right. It wasn't atonement.
There was no atonement.
Then. Yeah, wow. There was no atonement. And so that's what Bollinger points out. So we go.
What does that mean? There's no atonement.
That's the blood.
Oh, I guess we're going to see this. Let's go to Leviticus 9:22. I thought I'd messed it. No, it's here. And so you're like, what? What is strange fire? We're going to find out about.
I'm sorry, Gary. What chapter?
9:22. I guess we're not going to do it, but here's what happens.
It's like in the bottom of a fire after your wood burns down.
Yeah, you blow on a coal, ember, that's an ember. And so they would pick it up with tongs and put it in there, and then you put incense on it.
Only after blood had been poured over it, though.
Yeah, on the altar, and that's the atonement. Okay. And so in verse 22, then Aharon lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he came down from offering the sin bearer and the ascending sacrifice and the peace offering. Another significant thing is Nadab and Abihu both saw Yahweh. They just said they were at his feet. I mean, they had a huge experience here. And when Moses and Aharon had entered into the tent of meeting and had come forth and blessed the people, then appeared the glory of Yahweh unto all the people. Yea, there came forth fire from before Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the ascending sacrifice and the portions of fat, and all the people beheld and shouted and fell down upon their faces. So Yahweh set this fire from heaven down to their altar. So that was showing you, okay, this is everything's perfect. Now, chapter 10, verse 1. Then Aharon's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took each man his censer and placed therein fire and put therein incense and brought near before Yahweh strange fire which he had not commanded them. Okay,
I'm confused now.
Read the next verse, Elijah, what happens to him.
Then came there forth a fire from before Yahweh and consumed them, and they died before Yahweh.
That was the end of their story. Then said Moses unto Aharon the very thing that Yahweh spake, saying, and them that draw near to me must I be hallowed. These were Moses' nephews. Mm-hmm. No respecter of persons. And before the face of all the people must I myself get honor. And Aharon was dumb. And what dumb, we have a wrong meaning of the word dumb. Dumb means a person doesn't speak. So when somebody said he's dumb, that has nothing to do with thinking. And why they would say he's dumb, because usually they couldn't hear or speak, and of course they didn't know what you're talking about. So they look like they're dumb, but that's the word dumb. So you can imagine his sons were just killed.
Then they can't hear.
He can't speak. All of a sudden he's just
distraught.
Yeah, distraught, terrible. And then Moses tell them, you cannot weep for your sons. Like, I did something wrong.
Right.
No, they got consequences. So do we want to be like Nadab and Abihu? Nadab and Abihu, no. Now we go to the next people, and they're called the 10 spies. Numbers 13. Now these, as we've said in the past, were actually princes of the tribe, so these are very important individuals. And And when people ask you, why are you doing this when nobody else in the church does something? Why do you speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy? And why do you not believe in the Trinity when everybody else does? And you can say very simply, how many spies believed Yahweh to go into the land of Canaan, and how many did not? The majority said you cannot go in. 80%. That was 10. 80% said you cannot go in. Only 20% said you can. So when you're a minority, don't think for a minute that because the majority is evil, that you're wrong. And don't anybody let you feel that way either. And all you have to do is say, of course. Now, let me see here. 13, verse 31. But the men who went up with him, the spies, said, we cannot go up against the people, for stronger are they than we. So they sent forth a rumor. Now, they could have cowered out and said, you guys going up, we just can't believe to do that. That's fine, but they didn't do that. What are they going to do? And they sent forth a rumor. So here's one person that says, I don't speak in tongues. I don't believe to speak in tongues, but that doesn't mean you can't. Or I can't be healed, that doesn't mean you can't. But when I started saying, healing is out, tongues are out, because I don't speak in tongues, nobody should speak in tongues, then you've got a real problem. And we have church officials doing that today. And I love what the word that came from Elijah, and it says, opening the book is easy. It's opening your heart. So we have many, many people, which all these people open the book. But their heart was different. Let me see here. Oh, 32. So they sent forth a rumor of the land which they had spied out among the sons of Israel, saying, as touching the land through which we passed to spy it out, is the land that eateth up them who dwell therein. And all the people we saw in the midst thereof were men of great stature. And there we saw we the giants, sons of Anak, descendants of the giants, and we were in our eye, and we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. What was your verse? 1 Timothy 1:7. Repeat that again.
2 Timothy 1:7. For Yahweh has not given us a spirit of fear, but
of power. Are these guys fearful?
Yeah.
And actually, that word is cowardness. The spirit of cowardness. And are these people cowardice? Yes, they are. And they spread that rumor out so the people didn't want to go, and they infected the rest of the people to say, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. And all the people said, oh, let's go back to Egypt, let's go back to Egypt. And so now everybody has forgot everything that Yahweh has done. And we go to 14 through 36. What happens to them? These 10. Now as for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and caused all the assembly to murmur against who?
Him.
Him. So they're getting everybody to murmur against Yahweh by giving out a rumor against the land. What happened to them, Melania?
They died.
Read it.
They died, the men who gave out an evil rumor of the land by the plague before Yahweh.
Now who didn't die? Isaiah, verse 38.
But
Joshua,
son of Nun, and
Caleb,
son of
Jehupi,
remembered,
remained alive.
Alive, and those men who went to spy out the land.
Okay, that's it. So who got to go into the land?
Caleb.
Yeah, and
Joshua.
So, do you want to be like the 10 spies? Or do you want to be like the 2 spies?
Two.
The two. Who names their kids after Joshua and Caleb? You ever heard that name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're heroes. Everybody likes the name of Joshua and Caleb. I don't know if it means people name their kids Nadab and Abihu. Abihu. Yeah, those are the guys who got smoked. Just like
Nimrod.
Just like Judas, it'd be a tough one to be named somebody Judas also.
Judas was Jesus' brother, too.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to be like Joshua, and that's really Yahushua or Caleb. Mm-hmm. Now, how about the Levites? I don't know if we're going to finish this. Yeah, let's go into the Levites, Exodus 32. Are we like the Levites? A great percentage of the church is like the 10 spies. They are coward, and we're going to see a lot of this cowardness. And the first generation, we're going to find out the second generation of Israelites were strong. The first generation were slaves, mentally. They were servants mentally. They couldn't overcome that. To go into the land, fear overtook them. They're always saying, take us back to Egypt. And what do you think the Egyptians would have done with them if they would have came back?
Yeah,
and why don't you go back by yourself? You can just meander back there. You don't need us. Just go ahead. I mean, how's that going to work out for you? I mean,
you're like, they weren't in shackles out there. Moses didn't have them all locked up.
Yeah, yeah.
How are they going to get across?
They could walk around.
That's how long are they taking them?
It takes a long time. That's fine, but quit complaining. Go. Get out of here.
It was only 11 days, I think.
Yeah, so here's these are the Levites, Exodus 32. Remember Aaron built the, or Aharon built the molten calf. Moses comes down now and says in verse 25, and Moses saw the people that unbridled. You know what a bridle is on a horse?
No.
You put it in their mouth and the reins. You pull it back. Mm-hmm. You control the horse with the bridle, right? You make him turn. If you want him to stop, what do?
Pull back.
Okay. If you take the bridle off and got on the horse, what are you going to do?
You can't do anything.
You're going to go wherever he goes. That's what happens when Aaron or Aharon did to the people. He took the bridle off the people. So many times, so people have to be bridled.
Yeah.
If you just, and if you can see many times this looting and tearing up a town, that's people unbridled. I look in 25, and Moses saw the people that unbridled they were, for Aharon had given them the rein. See that? For a whispering among their enemies. So Moses took his stand in the gate of the camp and said, who is for Yahweh? To me. Then gathered unto him all the sons of who?
Levi.
Look what they're going to do. What he's going to ask them to do. And he said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, put you every man his sword upon his thigh, pass through and return from gate to gate in the camp, and slay you every man his brother, every man his friend, and every man his neighbor. So whoever is sinning, you go kill him. And if it's your brother, you kill him. If it's your neighbor, you kill him. If it's your friend, you kill him. How's that?
About your wife?
And watch. Yeah, if that's right, if they were there. 28, so the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell from among the people on that day about how many people?
3,000.
3,000 people the Levites put to death. Their own family members, it had to be, their own friends and their own neighbors. You know what Yahweh did? He exalted the Levites, because you obeyed me. And so we want to be like the Levites. And that's a tough job. That other people, there were 12 tribes, and only one tribe came forward with the Levites. And so by doing that, Yahweh made them very special, that they can be servants around the temple, and they get the tithe and the food. So we want to be like the Levites.
They got the best inheritance.
Yeah, oh yeah, they did. Now we go into Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. That's number 16. Might have to probably finish there, close to it. Numbers chapter 16.
16, you said that?
16, that's right.
2:15. Is that the
verse?
So, when the Levites put the 3,000 dead, were those people, did they see the sea split? Did they have the 10 miracles and 10 wonders? Yes, they did. But even after all that, they completely disobeyed Yahweh. 16, verse 1. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then took Korah, son of Izhar, son of Korath, son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eleb and On, and son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, and rose up before Moses with certain men of the sons of Israel, 250 princes of assembly, calling to the state meeting men of renown. Very important people. So you have 250 people, and they gathered against, together against who?
Moses.
Who they gather against?
Moses.
And against Aharon, and said to them, "Too much for you, when all the assembly are all of them holy, and in the midst of them is Yahweh. Wherefore then should you not set yourself up above the convocation of Yahweh?" So here's the three men and 250 other very important men who are now fighting Moses and Yahweh again. Are we going to be Korath? And so the end of them is in, let's see here, 23. We'll just go in. Let's just go down to 31. Kind of running out of time here. Same chapter 16. You want to read 31 through 35, Wendy?
And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground which was under them clave asunder, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up them and their households, and all the human beings who pertained unto Korah, with all their goods. So they and all that pertained unto them went down alive unto Hades. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished out of the midst of the convocation. And all Israel who were round about them fled at their cry, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up." Fire also came forth from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men who offered the incense.
All right. You want to be like these guys?
No.
No, I don't want to be like those guys.
I
want to
get killed by
the earth. Then we go to Deuteronomy 2, verse 14, and look at the first generation. These are people of the first generation of Israelites leading out of captivity. 2 verse 14, page 200. That's right. Now the days in which we journeyed from Kadesh Barneaim as far as we crossed the ravine of Zered was 38 years. Now watch this. Remember, there are 40 years in the wilderness. So here's 38 years until all the generations of the men of war were what?
Consumed.
Out of the midst of the camp, as Yahweh has sworn unto them. So it took 38 years to clean this unbelieving generation. This is before they went into...
So it's getting rid of all the old people?
Yes.
Okay.
And they weren't even old. They had to be, if they were 21 when they started, that was them.
Yeah, that's only 40.
So they'd be 60.
Yeah, 38, so at the most 38. 20 and under were spared. If you are 20 and older, we're all going to die. So I guess 19 and under was the second generation.
So why was, because of all the sin, their bloodline?
Well, it's just what they accepted. And so what you have is, as a whole, you were fearful to go into the land of Canaan. You would not take your sacrifices. I mean, and so what you find out, and so when Yahweh fought Shihon and Og, who is on the east side of the Jordan, right? It was before he went into Jericho. We think the thing began in Jericho. It didn't begin in Jericho. It began in Sihon and Og. And what generation were those? It was the second generation. The first generation had to die.
Well, Caleb
wasn't. Caleb and Joshua were the only two.
The
whole group.
Only two.
And then we see that. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed by dying out of the midst of the people, then spake Yahweh unto me, saying, so we don't want to be that first generation. You know, you're a bunch of pansies and weaklings and fearful, and fear ruins your life. You saw these great wonders, and you still won't commit yourself to believe that I say you can beat these guys, because I'm with you. And they just couldn't do it. But the second generation can. 18, thou art passing today the boundaries of Moab, even Ar, so wilt thou draw near over against the sons of Ammon, Do not thou besiege them, neither engage the strife with them, for I will not give the land of the sons of Ammon unto thee as a possession, for unto the sons of Lot have I gotten it as a possession. And it goes through the land of the giants, and then we get into Og and Shihon. And this is where the war begins as the second generation who is upright. So we don't want to be like the first generation, we want to be like the second generation. And if you go to Joshua 1:16,
that is because of their blood is more pure.
No, not the other blood.
No, what I'm saying, I don't get that. Why? Because they chose to believe, but they were
spared. Well, I think, my best of my knowledge, you had people who were raised in slavery mentally. Well, you had another generation who was not.
Okay.
You had another generation who was weaned in the desert by eating manna.
Okay.
By having quail come,
being blessed.
By Yahweh being their sustenance for 38 years in the wilderness.
They had only depended on Yahweh.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of them saw the wonders too, but they might have been 10 years old, 8 years old, 12 years old, so they didn't have this, I think, inbred. When somebody gets older, they just don't have it.
Right.
Like a poverty mentality.
Yeah, it's really, and I think it's good as soldiers also that you pick the younger people. And so the other people are, let's go back. They're always trying to go back. That's now we see with Joshua.
Do we have to go fight?
Yeah.
Really?
Joshua what?
Joshua 1:16, chapter 1, verse 16. Then respond they to Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded us we will do, and whatsoever, this is the second generation coming into the land of Canaan. Whatsoever thou shalt send us, we will go. As in everything we hearken unto Moses, so will we hearken unto thee. Only let Yahweh thy Elohim be with thee, as he is with Moses. And any man who shall rebel against thy bidding, or mouth, and not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou shalt command us, shall be put to death. Only be firm and bold. So these guys are committed. Mm-hmm. They said, if they're not going to listen to you, we're going to kill them. Now, how do these guys do? We go to Judges, Joshua, Judges, chapter 2, verse 6. They did real good. 2, verse 6. You want to read 6 through 13, Wendy?
And now when Joshua had let the people go, the sons of Israel went their way, every man to his inheritance, to take possession of the land, and the people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of Yahweh, which he had wrought for Israel. So then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him within the bounds of the inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of Mount Gaash. All that generation also were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who had not known Yahweh, nor even the work which he had wrought for in Israel. So the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and served the Baals, and forsook Yahweh, the God of their fathers, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and angered Yahweh. Yea, they forsook...
Yeah, we'll go ahead and stop there. But you saw the first generation didn't make it, second generation did, third generation did not. So we want to be like the second generation.
Right.
And we'll kind of be ending. Last one was a guy named Phinehas, which is a great priest, who when... we won't do that. But he was a great priest that people were doing the sins of Beor. It was from Balaam. I forget the name of the country. And it was sexual sin. And a plague was going out, and he went into their tent while they were having sexual, union, and he ran them through with a spear, both of them, and it gave their names. And the plague was stopped because of what he did. And it was counted as righteousness to Phinehas. So Phinehas is a person who was jealous for Yahweh and was rewarded for being jealous for Yahweh. And that's what we want to be like. So when it comes down to it, these were all believers. He's all witnessed the great wonders. But they took many different avenues. So in our church today, the same thing pertains. Just because they're part of the assembly does not, they're going to fit into one of these categories. Are you a Joshua? Are you a Caleb? Are you a Nadab? Are you Abihu? You know, are you
Miriam?
Yeah, but Miriam repented. That's good. Aaron repented. But are you a Korath? Are you these other people? Are you like the first generation? Are you like the Levites? So the heroes were humble, obedient warriors, faithful. They had faith. They were instruments of Yahweh. The rebels rebelled against Yahweh, not against Moses. Were haughty, disobedient, unfaithful, followers of the masses, cowardly, fearful, instruments of the adversary, unbelievers. And then if a person wants to finish, they go into Hebrews 3, verse 5, 7 through 19, and then Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. But it's talking about the obstinance and how long the training, and in answer to your question many times, is this generation should outperform us.
Yeah.
And your generation should outperform us because we got into the Word later. You know, and so we were born up on Catholicism or no word whatsoever. So we had a later start compared to your generation and then compared to their generation. So they should be able to outperform us, and as long as we keep staying faithful, they can. Otherwise, I think maybe even the second generation with the Israelites didn't teach their kids efficiently. So that generation went evil.
How many years did the Bible go missing with no generation? They found it.
Josiah. Oh, Josiah. Yeah, that's true. Anytime the written word, people don't go by the written word. So we'll stop there. And I'll have a closing word of prayer and a prophecy for the people. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for life that's more abundant. We thank you for these great heroes and great tragedies that we can learn from the lessons, that we do not want to be a Nadab or a Abihu, even though very religious men they were. Religion is what you do not want, but what you, like you say, it's not who opens the book, it's who opens up their heart. So we thank you for these words for these people. As you walk in this moment and in my time and in the sphere of influence that I have placed you in, manifest my word. Do not be ashamed of me, and I will not be ashamed of you. Be proud of who I am and manifest who I am in your life and what I've done in your life and what I've accomplished in your life. Tell that testimony over and over and over again. It gives me glory that people can see a living Elohim abiding within them, who I am. And I will abide in you in a greater power and more efficiency as you share forth my testimony.